The White People by Arthur Machen.
Prologue. Sorcery and sanctity, said Ambrose. These are the only realities. Each is an ecstasy, a withdrawal from the common life. Cotgrave listened, interested. He had been brought by a friend to this moldering house in a northern suburb, through an old garden to the room where Ambrose the recluse dozed and dreamed over his books. Yes, he went on, magic is justified over children. There are many, I think, who eat dry crusts and drink water, with a joy infinitely sharper than anything within the experience of the practical epicure. You are speaking of the saints? Yes, and of the sinners, too. I think you are falling into the very general error of confining the spiritual world to the supremely good. But the supremely wicked, necessarily, have their portion in it. The merely carnal, sensual man can no more be a great sinner than he can be a great saint. Most of us are just indifferent, mixed-up creatures. We muddle through the world without realizing the meaning and the inner sense of things, and, consequently, our wickedness and our goodness are alike, second-rate, unimportant. And you think the great sinner, then, will be an ascetic as well as the great saint? Great people of all kinds forsake the imperfect copies and go to the perfect originals. I have no doubt but that many of the very highest among the saints have never done a good action, using the words in their ordinary sense. And, on the other hand, there have been those who have sounded the very depths of sin, who all their lives have never done an ill deed. He went out of the room for a moment, and Cotgrave, in high delight, turned to his friend and thanked him for the introduction. "He's grand," he said. "I never saw that kind of lunatic before." Ambrose returned with more whiskey and helped the two men in a liberal manner. He abused the teetotal sect with ferocity as he handed the seltzer and, pouring out a glass of water for himself, was about to resume his monologue when Cotgrave broke in. "I can't stand it, you know," he said. "Your paradoxes are too monstrous. A man may be a great sinner and yet never do anything sinful. Come!" "You're quite wrong," said Ambrose. "I never make paradoxes. I wish I could. I merely said that a man may have an exquisite taste in Romane Conti, and yet never have even smelt four ale. That's all. And it's more like a truism than a paradox, isn't it? Your surprise at my remark is due to the fact that you haven't realized what sin is. Oh, yes, there is a sort of connection between sin with a capital letter and actions which are commonly called sinful, with murder, theft, adultery, and so forth, much the same connection that there is between the A, B, C, and fine literature. But I believe that the misconception, it is all but universal, arises in great measure from our looking at the matter through social spectacles. We think that a man who does evil to us and to his neighbors must be very evil. So he is, from a social standpoint. But can't you realize that evil in its essence is a lonely thing, a passion of the solitary individual soul? Really, the average murderer, qua murderer, is not by any means a sinner in the true sense of the word. He is simply a wild beast that we have to get rid of to save our own necks from his knife. I should class him rather with tigers than with sinners. It seems a little strange. I think not. The murderer murders not from positive qualities, but from negative ones. He lacks something which non-murderers possess. Evil, of course, is wholly positive, only it is on the wrong side. You may believe me that sin in its proper sense is very rare. It is probable that there have been far fewer sinners than saints. Yes, your standpoint is all very well for practical, social purposes. We are naturally inclined to think that a person who is very disagreeable to us must be a very great sinner. It is very disagreeable to have one's pocket picked, and we pronounce the thief to be a very great sinner. In truth, he is merely an undeveloped man. He cannot be a saint, of course, but he may be, and often is, an infinitely better creature than thousands who have never broken a single commandment. He is a great nuisance to us, I admit, and we very properly lock him up if we catch him. But between his troublesome and unsocial action and evil, oh, the connection is of the weakest.